This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Robert Steele. Dr. Steele's a doctor. He's an MBA. He's the Chief Strategy and Innovation Officer at Children's Mercy in Kansas City. Dr. Steele, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. I go by Rob Steele. I am a pediatrician by background, but I'm the Executive Vice President and Chief Strategy and Innovation Officer at Children's Mercy in Kansas City.
And talk a little bit about your career. At some point in your career, you went back and did an MBA. You've also got, you know, magnificent background in education. Talk about going back to get an MBA mid-career and transition from being a full-time physician to being involved in leadership. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Honestly, it's going to end up being more of an accidental story here. I affectionately refer to myself as an accidental administrator. I came out of residency and went into practice and practiced exclusively for about 12 years and then got asked to do one thing, which turned into three things, which turned into nine things, and suddenly I think I had two jobs, one administrative and then practice. Ultimately, made the decision to move more into administration, and through that process really felt that there was a part of my personal education that was missing and felt that that could be filled with an MBA. And that was really the motivation. It really wasn't that I was somehow going to leverage the MBA for one career path or another. It was really just a fact that there were folks around me that were speaking a language that I had not learned in med school and felt that I could further my own education through getting my MBA.
And how helpful was it? I mean, exactly as you said, there are people that do it for various different reasons. Some because they need to step out and want to change directions in their lives and they need it to do that. Others because they truly want the education they need to further what they're doing in the roles they've started to step into. Talk for a moment about how helpful it's been over the years. Has it been helpful? Some of the thoughts on it.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's been helpful for my own understanding within the business community. I didn't feel that it was absolutely necessary for my career path. You know, I did think that there was some, I'll say, immediate legitimacy by having initials after your last name. But really, the purpose of that was so that I could understand more where other people were coming from as they were talking more from a business and particularly financial perspective. So, I personally found it very rewarding. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed getting that education, even despite the fact that it was hard to fit in with everything else going on with me at the time. But I have found it to be very helpful. I still rely on a number of the concepts that I learned in getting my MBA.
And let's take a moment and talk about strategy. You're Chief Strategy and Innovation Officer. How do you approach strategy in Children's Hospital? Do you think about, here's what we have to be great at, here's what we don't have to be great at? How do you sort of look at strategy and think about it?
You know, I tend to take a classic approach to strategy in that there are things, you know, that you start with foundationally, you know, mission, vision, those type of things, so that your strategy always aligns with the organization's mission and vision going forward. But in the end, there are challenges that are thrown our way from a number of different directions, including from other competitors. And so my approach to strategy is one, to further the organization so that it can achieve its mission, but do that in a way that offers a competitive advantage over those that with whom we compete.
And where do you, when you think about the classic approach to strategy, and no doubt they talked a lot about it in business school, are there specific people that you've learned from, that you read from, that you think about and how they approach strategy? In any thoughts there?
You know, I am a big fan of beg, borrowing, and stealing from other industries. Healthcare has traditionally been pretty slow with respect to innovative change over the years. And so looking at other industries, depending on what we're specifically looking at. Example, if I were really looking at our strategy with regard to supply chain, my experience down in Arkansas, I naturally will look at Walmart and what they have done and how they look at a supply chain. So I like to look at other industries with respect to how they're doing things. Digital innovation is a great example too. Healthcare being relatively slow in adopting those digital strategies and solutions to problems that are often have significant complementary aspects in other industries. And so looking at those solutions and the strategies involved with those are ones that I like to look outside the healthcare industry.
Fantastic. And talk about this year, the next 6 to 12 months, Children's Mercy, magnificent institution. Talk for a moment about top three priorities as you look at the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, so what's interesting is we just got done with our five-year strategic plan. In fact, we put it before our board about 4 days before we had to shut down significantly for COVID. So perfect timing, of course. after we got our feet on the ground and felt that we had all our operations in place in addressing all the COVID challenges that we had, at least at that time, we went back and looked at our strategic plan to go, okay, is it still relevant in the era of COVID? And took a little bit of time to relook at that. And not only did we feel that it was relevant in the era of COVID, but probably even more so. So our approach and our priorities remain intact with our five-year strategic plan with regard to all of the strategic goals involving our community, our engagement in social determinants of health, our physician alignment strategy, our partnership strategy, as well as our technological strategy. So as priorities go, right now operationally we still are focused on COVID, quite frankly, even despite the fact that in pediatrics it does not affect children to the severity that it does in adults in general, but it certainly affects us in the same manner from a business perspective. So we still have those priorities just operationally. But from a strategic standpoint, we are moving forward and feel that actually in the era of COVID, we need to actually move as fast as we anticipated prior to COVID and maybe even more so now.
Fantastic. And you got big priorities, big strategy. Talk a little about your background as a pediatrician and the sort of the period of time that you straddled both worlds, meaning being a pediatrician and then also helping run health systems.
Yeah, so my foray into administration was largely through managed care and payer relationships. What's interesting is that as a practicing pediatrician, as well as administratively being involved in taking risk and engaging in risk-based contracting, I was able to give a line of sight to the practicing physician about why we were doing what we were doing. And how it impacted them on a daily basis in their practice. So I think what maybe the thing that I was able to bring to the table as a practicing physician was understanding how those administrative decisions truly impact and why they're important and why physician engagement in those decisions and in their implementation are so incredibly important going forward. And it colors my, the way I implement strategy now with regard to change management, as well as just simply looking at where the hockey puck's going to be. You've got to have the physicians at the table as equal partners in that decision-making process and then count on them on the execution phase within that strategy.
And let me ask you the follow-up question to what you said a moment ago about COVID might not impact children the same, but it does impact the health system a great deal. Talk about that for a moment. How do you see it affecting pediatric hospital, great health, great pediatric health care system versus an adult hospital system or a general hospital?
Yeah, so, you know, while we may not have as many children in the ICU, for example, we still have to keep patients and their families safe. So all the operational requirements of screening and limiting how we schedule our ambulatory operations, the fact that the response from a telemedicine standpoint is exactly the same that we've seen in adult systems, and that we are able to shift our capabilities. Just from a telemedicine perspective, we're now still sitting at around 23% of all of our ambulatory visits now are through telehealth, and that's far greater than it was prior to COVID, which is a similar experience to adults. So those things are the similar. Where it's dissimilar are where it impacts the care of the child. So for example, many hospitals have limited and completely excluded family members from visiting those that are in the hospital for infection control reasons. That's just simply not possible for children. You've got to have a parent there, at least one, and in many instances, those parents have other children that are in school. One parent may be working, both parents may be working, and those type of things require us to be sensitive to what is necessary to take care of that child, and it impacts how we screen family members, who we allow into the hospital, and the like. And I think that's significantly different than how our adult colleagues are operating.
Right. With the children, you really can't leave family members out. You just can't, for consent reasons, for the child's emotional health reasons, for a million reasons, where for adults, even though they probably need the emotional health as well, you don't have the same consent issues. You're able to do things more contactless and so forth. Fascinating. Fascinating.
Right. So the other aspect there also is from a surgical standpoint, you know, the adult colleagues talk about, you know, putting off, quote, elective surgeries. In pediatrics, there's very little that is truly elective. We can maybe postpone things slightly as best we can, but for the most part, children are going to deteriorate if we're not getting them to the OR in a manner that we feel like that we need to. So, you know, we've actually even abandoned that term of elective surgeries or putting off, quote, elective surgeries. We're just simply taking those surgical cases and postponing them as safe as possible in the era of COVID.
When you look at things right now, you're having this remarkable career. You've had this great transition over a long period of time, quite frankly, and a great career. What are you most excited about as you look at the next 6 to 12 months? What gets you up in the morning and says excited? You're excited about, you know, what do you look at today?
You know, I think probably the thing that jazzes me the most is how we impact children from a population health standpoint. Of course, population health is even prior to COVID has been a buzzword and a significant area of discussion, both in adults and pediatrics. The ability to truly impact a large number of children through population health methods, understanding where those gaps in care are, and seeing the impact of that, that will last a lifetime. So it's not just impacting them over the next year or two and seeing those populations improve. It has long-term improvements that will extend into adulthood. What I envision is that if we can do our part in improving the populations of children, that the adult side will reap the rewards here in the next 10 to 20 years because those populations are even more healthy. So I personally, what gets me up in the morning is the ability to impact a large number of children and improve the health of the community, communities that we serve from a pediatric perspective.
And how can you, I mean, yeah, there's obviously the queer things like vaccines and so forth, but how do you improve the population of children in a given area? What can tangibly be done?
You know, what's interesting is that the methods to impact the population are exactly the same as adults. It's just the the disease entities may be different. So instead of targeting, for example, congestive heart failure or type 2 diabetes in adults, where there are so many comorbidities, in pediatrics, it's asthma and it's mental health. And so what we do is we look at the infrastructure and coordinate that care in a manner that allows for those chronic diseases, same as the adults, just different diseases, same chronicity, but different diseases. And we implement the same type of methods that the adults do. What's different is that you have to include the family members. We're not just targeting the patients themselves. We're targeting the family unit. And so the solutions to those population health and engaging those families in their child that has a chronic disease in order to improve their health and then thus lower the cost going forward is the methods are a bit different and I would argue probably more complicated.
Thank you. Another question. Asthma, diabetes, behavioral health, are these things all way up in terms of challenges? Or what do you see out there in terms of the population?
Yeah, no, there are significant challenges. I mean, as anyone will say, you know, the U.S. population as a whole is not healthy as compared to other countries. We spend way more per capita on health expenditure without the outcomes to show for it. And that's true in pediatrics as well. So I would say that we as a population are, you know, we're having an increase in our disease burden, and that's just even taking COVID out of it, but just particularly on chronic disease, and a lot of that is driven by social determinants of health, as well as just taking responsibility of our own health going forward. We as a healthcare institutions have an obligation to try to improve those outcomes, but we can't do it alone. You've got to do it in partnership with the community, with the community's resources, which include healthcare and non-healthcare. So I do think that you know, pediatrics is not immune to that, with regard to those chronic diseases where they are increasing, just as they are on the adult side.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Steele, I will ask you the last sports-related question, though I shouldn't. You're a UNC graduate. You went to undergrad at UNC. Typically an undergraduate at UNC loves Chapel Hill, loves the Tar Heels, huge fan of Dean Smith, and has a similar disdain for the Duke and the Cameron Crazies and so forth. Give you a moment to weigh in on that. Do you have opinions on it?
Oh, yeah, I have opinions. And at the risk of alienating any of your Dukey listeners out there, it is hard for me to say anything nice about Duke, particularly anything undergrad or basketball related. Dean Smith was the coach while I was there, and holy cow, you've never seen anything better. And that includes Coach K, who I have tremendous respect for. I hate to admit that, but I do. But it is, you'll find it very difficult for me to say anything nice about the Duke basketball at all.
Fair enough. And I won't egg you on nor tee you up any further. We'll let it go. Dr. Steele, I want to thank you for joining us today. What a pleasure to visit with you and hear what you're doing, hear what you're doing at Children's Mercy, hear about some of the things going on with pediatrics and COVID and chronic diseases and more. What a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Thanks so much, Scott.